Hello and welcome to Beauty Inside Out. I'm your host, Kimberly Snyder, nutritionist, wellness expert, and author. On this podcast, I share my experiences, insights, and knowledge with you on health, beauty, personal development, and wellness. Every week, we have interviews with amazing pioneers in their fields. So joining me in the conversation every week is also my dear friend, Tony, who is a health researcher out of Stanford. Hey, beauties. I'm so excited to be back with you guys and Tony, who is sitting right across from me at this table. Tony, it seems like all our podcasts will actually be together in the same room since you're moving to my neighborhood in LA, away from San Francisco. So this is very exciting news, T. And also as exciting as I want to talk about this topic of biohacking today, which some of you beauties have been asking me about in comments. I've seen this come up. And of course, it's something that we've heard in snippets here and there and just health news and around. So biohacking, to me, there is some interesting parts of it, which you and I have discussed extensively amongst ourselves. And then there's also some sort of negative aspects, or maybe not so beneficial if we take it to the extreme. So let's talk about it.
Awesome. Okay.
How do we even define biohacking in the first place?
I think that's an amazing place to start, because there really isn't like an official definition. But I think one of the things to understand about biohacking is essentially, the best way I think to understand it in the beginning is just to break down, you know, biology and hacking, which is like a shortcut. So I think in the broadest sense, people are trying to lump in kind of any kind of health shortcut into kind of the biohacking sphere, basically. But I think
just so like that's, manipulating our biology.
Exactly. How to quickly manipulate your biology. And the kind of the more narrow perspective on biohacking would be more really focused on like technology or kind of like cutting edge. I think the movement itself tends to kind of look at like more on this bleeding edge, either nutrition, technology, or practices that
pushing it.
How far can we take?
I've heard of, you know, certain biohackers not just taking supplements but also like using electricity on your muscles, doing all kinds of you know, just measures. And so we'll get into this now, but you know, I'm all about increasing, you know, energy and our health and working with nature. That's always been my perspective, is, you know, how do we become naturally more healthy? How do we go back to our natural state? When we're in our natural state with low toxicity in our body, then our body has this amazing ability to regenerate and heal and to, you know, to really perform and live at these higher levels. So that's like sort of how I've phrased it. Some of the things that I hear about, it almost feels unnatural to me. And again, it's always personal opinion and perspective, and some will say no, but it's like, you know, there's nothing wrong with like trying to push for that next level. But some of it seems a bit extreme to me.
Yeah. I think, you know, that's like how you started this in the beginning. There are good sides to it, I mean, I think. And then there are some downsides kind of to the approach. I mean, as an example of a good kind of quote-unquote maybe example of biohacking would be something like neurofeedback. Mm. So like what we experience.
Exactly. Neurofeedback,
that's like using technology to accelerate or quote-unquote hack kind of like an outcome.
And if you guys are interested in learning more, we've done some blogs, some other podcasts on neurofeedback. I interviewed Dr. James Hart, who founded BioCybernaut. And it's like, it is accelerating healing, release of old emotional wounds, old belief systems. You know, it's almost like years and years, decades perhaps of meditation that you can get through a week. So that is definitely biohacking in that sense. And, you know, I definitely participated and loved it. So you're absolutely right, T. That is something that for me, I found very beneficial.
Yeah. So that would be like a positive example. Mm-hmm. I think like on the flip side, like I think one of, you know, the challenge, the downside with biohacking is we've discussed is I think, you know, you get in a lot like into almost like a very drug-like kind of mindset and perception about nutrition, mm-hmm. where it's always looking just for, like, you're kind of removing a little bit of, like, the holistic and kind of natural perspective, and you're going more into, like, what nutrient can I do to produce this change in my brain, or this ketosis thing, or this, how do I trigger this thing in my body, but without really looking at kind of like the long-term systemic,
the
kind
long,
of
natural
balance. It's like very quickly, how can I manipulate my
biology? It's the shortcuts. It's like exactly like getting performance today. And thank you for bringing that up, T, because I was just reading an article that you sent me that we'll link to in the show notes that was talking about this, this trend of certain CEOs, taking intermittent fasting to like a really intense level and not eating for days and saying, oh, it's not just dieting, it's biohacking, saying things like ketones are super fuel for the brain, trying to get performance, mm-hmm. The performance increased. And again, like what are the long-term effects of, of course we know like even in spiritual traditions, and I'm all for cleanses, obviously we have cleanses at GloBio, there is something to resting your system, but pushing yourself that much all the time, and it's that type of fasting, and then they're also using
coffee and butter and all these other things to
stimulate
themselves,
and they're using all these like software pieces to like measure like what's going on with the ketone levels and their blood, it's just like so much technology to get that shortcut, to get that little bit mm-hmm. more productivity. And again, like, who's to say, oh, like, this is right or wrong? Like, the line gets drawn for each individual.
Yeah.
But I just, for me, it's, it can go too far.
Yes.
That's how I'm going to say it.
Well, it's interesting because, too, like, a lot of these things, we don't know really, like, macro, like, things like, even just take something that's seemingly pretty innocent, like MCT oil. Mm-hmm. Which is like an extract from coconut oil that's advocated as this kind of, energy source, fat energy source, and also is like a way to accelerate ketosis, for example. Like, and ketosis has become this really popular trend, for example. But I was talking to a nutritionist who has no kind of allegiance to any particular like ideology or any group. And basically he was like, we don't know. He's like, from what I see, even something like MCT, even though it can increase ketosis... Right. Actually like could diminish your body's ability to produce like ketones naturally. So it's even for the things that we think that we're like biohacking or that we're accelerating, we don't really there's still just so little research on like what we're actually doing to our bodies kind of like systemically and then like long term.
Exactly.
And then like the adaptations that we're forcing our body to have to do, like it's a lot.
It almost reminds me, T, of like, I can't think of some of the names. I'm so not a movie buff. But yeah, there's movies where like, it gets amazing for a while, but then afterwards it's like, it just screws everything up. Or, that old tale about like King Midas, like everything he touches turns to gold. And at first he's like, look at all my gold. And then suddenly he touches his daughter and he like touches things in his life. Yes. And it's just like too much.
Yeah.
So back to your example with, the MCT, it's like, we know that coconuts are natural. We mm-hmm. know that, people have been cooking with coconut oil for centuries and having coconut meat and, using it in their traditional diets. But now, like you said, now we're extracting like parts of that. And, I was reading about this biohacker and he fasts for days and all he has is cups and cups of black coffee every day with MCT oil in it, being like, well, this is the super fuel. And again, when we step back and we say, but what about all the other micronutrients? What about the fact that, we know our gut also fuels our brain, and our gut is, nourished by fiber, which helps it to produce the right type of short chain fatty acids and all these other things which come when we're eating more naturally. So again, I so much of our philosophy and beauty detox is about taking a more natural approach aligned with nature, how we would eat in nature, the whole foods, nothing that's too extreme. And so I think, like you said, T, there's some interesting things, but I'm not going to be walking around all day wearing an electric headband, sending pulses into my brain because I get a little bit more productivity. For me, that doesn't feel right, or not eating for days. I think, you know, regularly, like every week, just only eating like a few days a week, like that's just, to me, that's not sustainable. And that's not how I want to live. I also want to enjoy my life.
It's I totally understand. And I think like a good finishing point is something that we discussed personally, which is just the systemic kind of mindset that like nothing is ever enough. Like we already feel like we're not, you know, I think we just see this all the time. Even you see this in Instagram and other places, like just reassuring people like you are enough, because everybody feels like they're not enough. And I think in the biohacking space, it's like, it's always the next nutrient, it's the next thing, it's the next therapy, it's the next. I've been in that kind of mindset before too, where I'm like always searching for like the next, like whatever therapy or modality or healing thing or whatever.
But you know what's, it's interesting to you, it's like that it's never enough. It could be applied to biology, performance of the body, material things. It's never enough. It's never a nicer car. I don't have enough clothes. I don't have enough money. It's that same feeling of just not being satisfied with the self, like self-acceptance is what I feel like, you know, when we hear about that never enough feeling.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of this stuff with biohacking, you know, some of these, you know, these people that have become sort of the leaders of that field, you know, one in particular that's, you know, that's sort of pioneered this idea of putting butter in coffee, for instance. You know, his work hasn't been evaluated by peers or duplicated by scientists or published in scientific journals. So it's sort of like he's, you know, saying he's a professional biohacker and writing about it and using his, you know, his body, which is, you know, there's nothing wrong with that at all.
Yeah.
But when some of the things that, I'm not saying him, but just in general, some of the recommendations are really extreme.
Mm-hmm.
I worry about what might happen long term. You know, people take it to the extreme and suddenly, you know, there's people just having only coffee for weeks on end with oil put in it and not eating anything else.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like that's pretty intense.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's so true. And,
but we, you know, I don't want to sound like it's all doom and gloom, because there is some, you know, interesting outcomes. For instance, again, we talked about the bio-cybernaut, which I'm, you know, really passionate about, and like just helping to learn more about how your brain works. You actually get audio and visual feedback on certain brainwaves and know when you're in a certain brainwave state. It helps you get into that state naturally. So let's, is there any, like another positive biohacking one, T, that you could think of?
I mean, there's even things like, for example,
so it's not all doom and gloom.
Yeah, no. Something like another example that I think a lot of people have benefited from is heart rate variability, which is this HeartMath Institute.
There's been a lot of HeartMath Institute
research on.
Yes.
And so basically their technology measures kind of like how recovered your nervous system is and like how, what state it's in, basically. And they've like,
how do they measure that exactly?
They've quantified it. Like, I think there's a measurement, like some, there's data about how, like the variability of like of your heart, basically, that where it actually is indicative of the state of your nervous system and how recovered and how rested. And so I know people, for example, that like an actual like competitive athlete that uses like heart rate variability basically to determine how much he should train that day, because if his heart rate variability is low, it means his nervous system is like more tired and therefore like his body shouldn't.
And especially if you're like an Olympic athlete or like elite trainer.
Yeah.
Like those subtleties could make a big difference.
Yeah, but another way that heart rate, like people use things like heart rate variability is like to assess your sleep quality.
Mm.
So like the better quality of your sleep is, like the higher your heart rate variability score is. So when you're getting like higher quality sleep, you're blocking out light, you're doing the sleep hygiene things that we've recommended before, generally like that score will go up. So you can kind of like get some data on like the quality, you know, above and beyond how you feel. The quality of like
some quantitative data
of your sleeping, and then you can like fine tune your sleep habits to kind of like, so there's things like that
that
are like research that are solid, that are like non like obsessive or invasive or whatever.
And, and it's also like in that respect, T, it's like there is I mean, if you look at it that way, you could say, oh, well, there is an end goal. Like, okay, now I'm feeling great, I'm sleeping 8 or 9 hours, you know, whatever, 7 hours, and I blah blah blah. versus like the performance is never high enough, you know? So some of it can be used.
And in the mindset.
Again, non-obsessively.
Exactly. Like you
it's
could,
the mindset.
You could do that to like dial in your sleep and then you don't even have to like necessarily do it anymore. You just kind of know what works for you sleep-wise. It's not like, oh my God, I have to do that. Now I've mastered my heart rate variability. I need to go like to the next technology. Like I need to do some brain stimulation or I need to do something. Like you can just be content with like fixing. Like sleep is such a huge part of your health. Like you could do something like that kind of if it facilitates or it helps you, great. And then but still, like we said, not be in the state of like always needing, always wanting, always like feeling like you're lacking the next thing.
Awesome, T. Well, thank you so much. I hope you guys you know, found this interesting. We're gonna put a couple links in here. You know, just summing up, it's not good or bad. It's just perspective. Again, for me, some of it is useful and fun and can be helpful, but you know, I always encourage not to be too extreme or obsessed with anything and just remember that again, nature knows best. We want to align with nature and eat natural foods and live closer to natural rhythms, sleep rhythms, you know, all these things. A lot of things we talk about in Radical Beauty as well. So thank you so much, T. And thank you, beauties. We will be right back right after the break. Feeling bloated and constipated is a common problem that can happen to almost anyone, even when you are maintaining a healthy diet. Detoxy Plus is a powerful formula and internal cleanser that combines magnesium and oxygen, helping to enhance elimination and regularity, increase detoxification, reduce bloating or gas, and leave you feeling lighter, healthier, and happier. Available on KimberlySnyder.com. Hey beauties, welcome back for a very special interview I have for you today. I have the amazing Satya, who I absolutely adore. She's the founder and CEO of Satya, which is a beautiful, beautiful, conscious yoga and just beauty-inspired jewelry collection based in New York. And she's also a collaborator with me on our upcoming jewelry line. She's also a mother, and she's someone that I admire very, very much. So I love, we've had her on the podcast before, but I wanted to share more of her amazing energy with you. So Satya, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So Satya, we have this amazing collaboration that we're launching on October 16th, which we'll talk about in a moment. But I just want to say that I really do admire you as a woman and a strong woman in the world, someone that's gone out and has created your dream. Like you've created this amazing business and you also are a mother. You have twin boys who are they're 9 years old.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm a new mom myself, Satya. I get a lot of questions about just the balance. You know, what does balance mean anyway? It's such a hard word to really define. But can you just share a little bit with us, you know, especially with us women, just some words, some tips, some advice about your own journey, how you've gotten to where you are? You know, start really general and then ask some more specific questions.
Yeah, sure. And it's such an important question. It's how do you do it all, right? People always think, oh my God, Satya, how do you do it all?
And yes. Kimberly,
you get the same. You know, being a mother is a full-time job. Running a big company is a full-time job. If you want to have any kind of social life outside of that,
I know.
It's crazy. But I always tell a lot of women and I tell people, you know, it takes a village.
Yeah.
And, you know, we as women, we have such a hard time saying, I need help. And I want to really emphasize, especially with this powerful collection that we are so excited to tell everybody about, is, you know, we as women, we are goddesses. We have the ability to multitask, to do multiple jobs, to be that mother, to run that business, to be the best friend you ever had, on and on and on the list. But you must reach out for help. You have to surround yourself with a community. And whether it's they call it a sangha in Buddhism, they call it, you know, the ashrams and the beautiful centers and where you go for yoga. You have to make sure you have the support and the ability to reach out and say, I need help. Mm-hmm. And that's the way I've been doing it for the last 15 years with this business and my twins and and on and on. But yeah, ask for help, ladies. Don't be shy anymore. We need to step up. The world needs us. And we cannot do it alone.
Well, was that something that was hard for you in the beginning when you were starting your business? And did you get burned out first before you realized, oh crap, like I need more help. Totally. I need to hire people, more help at home. Or did it,
Absolutely. Yeah. I still cry and I still forget. It's not like I've got this thing down by any means, but I know that when I'm at the top of my game and I'm feeling balanced and really good at all the different hats I wear is when I'm getting the support I need in each area. You know, when my staff at the office are holding up on their end, when my nanny and help at home are there for me, you know, it's, and again, I forget because I, you know, like to do everything myself. And, you know, there's always that level of, we all do it. It's like that goes back to reminder. Am I doing the best I can? Am I being true to myself? And that's where you say, okay, I need more help. Let's get real here.
And Salty, I know that you have a strong meditation practice and yoga practice. So as far as self-care, and this is something that I talk about a lot because I've noticed in my life, if I don't take care of myself, if I don't have some semblance of a yoga practice, you know, this morning I'm trying to do a home practice and Bubby's crawling all over me. But it's, you know, it's still the best I can do. I didn't have time to go to the studio. It's not going to be a full thing, but it's something. I have to have that time. Otherwise everything seems to get worse. So how do you schedule in your self-care time or, you know, sometimes like how do you manage that?
Yeah. You know, so, and it's very limited. It's not like before my kids came, I did 2 hours every morning. It was all about me. And then I would just download all the creative, juicy ideas. Now, since the kids came and the business got a little busier, you know, I have a yoga mat, laid out every morning. I get my kids their breakfast and then I start doing at least a few downward dogs. I sit at my altar. You know, I always tell people even 5 minutes of doing a little pranayama, just left nostril breathing, 5 minutes will actually reset our energetically. And so it's not about the time and where you do it.
True.
It's really just doing what you can and not beating yourself up for not being able to do more. Cause you know, that's the other thing, you know, women, we're like, you know, the guilt syndrome hits in, we're not, you know, and then that just beats me up all the time. And then I have to remind myself that little reminder is like, Saki, you're doing the best you can. And that might have to be enough for today that I only got 5 minutes of breathing. And tomorrow I'm going to go to a full class and I'm so excited. And then, you know, it just has to vary with our busy lives.
Mm-hmm. We have to accept that as long as we're doing the best we can, we're showing up. It's not always going to be this, you know, complete practice with inversions and back bends. And like you said, sometimes it's only a moment. And sometimes my self-care is, you know, my hot shower at the end of the day and my herbal tea, but it's like keeping it alive in my life, even if it's just a couple minutes, and like having that check in with myself is essential for me.
Yeah. And you know, even I'm going to go the food component. I've been stealing a lot of your recipes, by the way. That new pumpkin one, the pumpkin. Oh my God. Anyway, but you know, that too, cause I don't eat very well when I'm on this high rolling, moving fast with the kids. The kids eat great. And then I'm like, oh shoot, I forgot to make something for me. And but you know, it's so important, that whole full circle of balance, is making sure you do get at least one really good meal, that you're getting all those vitamins you need and the proteins
the other thing I want to, you know, I want to talk about just briefly is I've been, you know, I visited your office and I've seen you with your staff and you have this beautiful, you know, big open, amazing office in the heart of New York City, and you have a lot of female staff. You also have some men, of course, but the way that the energy in your office is really high. I feel like you have this way of, you've been able to create this big business, but you're also really kind and compassionate. There's respect across the board with everyone. You can tell that everyone that works there is really happy. And I love that, because sometimes we feel that, oh, you know, to get ahead, we have to be bitchy or, you know, pushy or kind of like aggressive, like a man. And I see this like feminine strength in how you lead. Can you tell us a little about how that came about? Because it's beautiful to witness.
Yeah. And I love that you were here, and everybody just adored you and said they never saw such amazing energy bursting out of one woman. So thank you for sharing. I think we were all at our best when you were here. But, you know, it's a big challenge because, you know, we've had some tough roads, 15 years in business. It's not been all, you know, it's been a very successful opportunity and great place to work because I'm the boss and I'm pretty easygoing, but that also, you know, sometimes I'm not so good at that because I'm a little too easygoing. So, you know, it's finding even that balance, you know, like, you know, business is a whole nother thing 15 years later. You know, when I started it, there is, you know, I have to be a little tougher and there needs to be an ROI for things now instead of let's just do it because it looks pretty.
Right.
You know, which I used to have, you know, had the ability to do. So, yeah, you know, I like to cultivate and empower people. I don't like to micromanage anybody. Maybe almost too much, because I like people to tap into what they're really good at and give them the freedom to express that. And I think that is something that is done really well in the business. You know, I'm not good at everything and I don't want to be. So really, you know, finding, you know, being able to empower your employees and let them find their strengths and run with them. It's so amazing.
Well, and Tati, that ties into what you said earlier about like asking for help in a way. It's like you guys, you know, I need help. We need to build this business together. You guys do what you're doing and I'm going to do what I'm doing. So it's that, you know, it's that help and also that trust and empowering other people, which it seems like it's all tied together.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah, it's so important. I think, you know, it's even what's going on globally. I mean, you think about, you know, we all need to get working closer together on things and we gotta, there's so much dis-ease happening in the world, and if we don't come together to figure it out, it won't get figured out. So
yes.
And it won't happen with one person. It's going to be collective consciousness, right?
Collective consciousness. And I, you know, this leads into talking about our collaboration, Satya, because the other thing I love is, you know, women especially coming together, because we are so amazing and so strong, and, you know, not to exclude men, but I feel this energy of women really rising up right now and banding together. And that was, you know, you and I absolutely love each other. You guys could tell listening to this. I feel this amazing kinship with you, Satya. And so, you know, you had come to, I believe it was our Radical Beauty event with Deepak, and we had this idea, like, let's do this collaboration together and create something that will empower women. And so really, really excited to share with you guys that it's launching on October 16th. And Satya and I are calling it the Fearless Goddess Collection featuring Durga. And this is, you know, Satya, I love that you kind of let me run with the initial ideas. And then we went back and forth and we worked with your designer. We worked together. But, you know, I just want to share Durga is a goddess that I don't believe you've ever featured at Satya before. Is that right?
We have never. When you said you wanted to do Durga, me and my designer, we fell off our chair because we're like, we just got back from India and we're like, oh my God.
Wow. Perfect.
I mean, no, we were just like, oh my God, she didn't say Durga, did she?
Oh, that's amazing. Well, you know, it's funny, Satya, I'm sitting here holding my Durga statue in my hand, which is on my desk. And for me, you know, when I went to India and I went to Varanasi and I went to this, the Durga temple, I didn't know that much about her before I went. And, you know, she's associated with the color red. So it's just like, she represents the invincibility, the power within us, you know, and sometimes Satya, you know, I explain to people that, you know, even in Hinduism, it seems like there's all these different gods and all these different, you know, but it's really these different aspects within us that are worshiped. There's really, you know, one God, the Brahman, but there's these aspects which we can draw out in ourselves when we focus on that image. Yeah. And so Durga represents that invisible, you know, that invincible power within us. She has eight arms, and I love this Durga. You know, each one is a weapon for sort of cutting through ego and delusion and who we aren't. So she has a sword, you know, to get to truth, and she has a, you know, she has a bow and an arrow going after something, and you know, just, you know, peace, you know, a lotus flower to bring peace and knowledge to a situation. So she has all these different resources, which is so, you know, true for all of us. We can pull, we can use our strength in different ways. And she rides on a lion or a tiger, like this badass just coming in, and it's just like, here we are in our strength, and we can still be feminine and we can still be soft and kind, but we also have that strength. And so, Satya, I saw that temple in Varanasi, and it was vibrating. There's people swaying back and forth. There was incense. There was women, older women coming up to me and like touching my face and putting, you know, bindis on my forehead, and it was just so empowering. And I said, holy crap, when you said, let's collaborate, I said, this is what is now. This, because we hear about, you know, we love, you know, Buddha and Ganesh and all these, you know, just symbols and aspects that we see a lot. But I feel like this Durga, the strength for her coming out is now.
Totally. It is just what we need. And, you know, all these little deities, like you said, they're just reminders of who we are inside
us
and what we want to ignite. So I think women right now, that's why I'm so excited to just, like we said, let's empower women. Like, what better goddess to like just remind us all of how amazing and powerful we are. Like, this thing is going to be worn by every mover and shaker. We're going to be the game changers of the world.
You know, and also Durga, like Satya, I'm calling you Durga now.
I'm Durga.
And you know, the collection, I love it as well, because we also incorporated the aspect of love and light and hearts, and you know, that's connected to strength, because when we are living in our heart center and we're connected to the pure light and love that we are, that's where true power comes from. It doesn't come from, you know, the ego or just feeling you know, like we're not worthy, or comparing, or feeling catty, or whatever it is. It's really like tapping back in. So one of my favorite pieces is you know, the script. It's like, it's very now, it's very cool, but it's very powerful. Yeah. The word light written out. And, you know, I've just been showing it to different people, and they're like, oh my gosh, that looks so cool. And it's a cool necklace that can be stacked and sort of worn with other ones. Like, you could also wear it with a little Durga charm, which I think is amazing. Of course, she's my favorite piece, but all the pieces can be layered and worn together, and they look really cool.
Yeah, they is. And you know, I always like to say that these, when you wear something that's so powerful and true to yourself, it invokes a deeper conversation around what's very fashionable. You know, it's very pretty, but what does that mean? And then I love when people could start really talking about, hey, this symbol reminds me to be the light in the world. This symbol reminds me that I am a goddess, that I can make things happen and change. So again, I'm hoping, you know, people will drape themselves in all of the pieces, including the stretch bracelets and the little we did the lariat with the light in it. It's all so beautiful.
It is. And it's so true, Satya. And this is what I love about jewelry is, and this is why, you know, jewelry has been such a, you look at the statues of the goddess and the goddesses when you go to a museum, or you look at, you know, some of the ancient texts and depictions, and they're wearing jewelry. They're wearing these pieces. It's just like putting on your armor in a way. It's putting on things that make you feel good, remind you of that strength as we're going about the world. it's reminding us we are powerful. We can manifest our dreams. We can live the life that we want. We are that strong.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, we need little reminders because, you know, you were getting inundated with a lot of intense news right now. Yeah. So the more armor we put on, the more protected we are and get pushed and get past all this. We will.
Love it.
But yeah. And the colors. Ooh, let's talk about the colors. You said.
So for me, I've always been really drawn to amethyst. And I love, first of all, purple is my favorite color. I'm wearing a purple dress right now, but I love that purple is the color of the crown chakra and sort of this like connection to the infinite. And so I know that Durga is usually associated with red. And so you may think like, oh, like rubies or garnet or whatever. But I said to you, Satya, and I love how open you were. I said, I like this expansive energy of amethyst. Like, can we do that? And you said, sure. Like, there's no rules. Like, why not?
We can do anything. Yeah, no, and it's fun. And you know, amethyst is so powerful. It's the stone of spirituality, and it's a very powerful stone for women to wear while they're diving into their practice. So it has all of this that we need right now. Yeah.
And then we added that little pop, like there's the little dots to the eye and light, and throughout there's a little bit of rose quartz, which is also powerful stone for love, including self-love. And when we're, again, in our heart center, rooted in that true love, there's so much power in that. And we don't have to resort to lower energies or feeling, you know, jealous or competitive or, you know, whatever, like we're not good enough. So that stone is also in the collection and we wanted to put it there for that true love energy.
Yes. And going even further, the compassion that rose quartz cultivates right now out to the world. So yeah, rose quartz is one of my favorites. It's such a very girly color, but it is so powerful. I mean, this is something that heals the heart. How many wounds have we all had? I mean, right now we have no time to stay in our old stories. We need to like heal the heart and move forward and use that story to find our power.
I love Satya. Just like the energy of it is you keep drawing it back to like, you know, the world and what's going on. And it's like each of us doing our part, like each of us rising up in our own power and that authenticity and, you know, more light and love will come from that. And that's how we will heal when we come together and support each other. So I am beyond excited. I have been wearing the pieces. I've been sharing them with some of my, you know, my close friends and my clients who absolutely adore them. I also wanted it to be gold, just because I personally love gold. And I think that, gold, you know, just has a nice feeling and nice energy. It goes well with most every skin tone. So so that's the other part. We really thought about every detail, didn't we, Satya?
So much. I can't wait to share this.
So much fun. So
get ready.
Thank you so much, Satya. This has been an amazing, amazing journey with you. Beauties, I am so excited. The collection officially launches on October 16th, and we're going to link to it now in the show notes and also Satya's website in general. If you have not seen her stuff, it is amazing. By the way, I just want to mention, Satya, I was obsessed with your pieces way before we met. Way when I was, you know, living in the West Village, and I would see your shop in the West Village, and then I saw your, you know, your shop in Time Warner, and I would like save up. This is when I was like starting out and, you know, just studying nutrition and teaching yoga. I would save up and like get a pair of earrings and give myself a bracelet for Christmas because I've always loved your pieces. So it is amazing how energies come together, and you never know like what's going to happen in the world, how connected we all are.
So true. And I think the circles are getting wider, but tighter. So we're all finding each other. We're all finding each other.
Love it.
You know, I'm really hoping that what we've done together, what we've put together is really going to uplift and make a lot of women very happy.
Yes.
And empowered, of course.
Yes. Well, Satya, thank you again so much. Thank you so much, beauties. Lots of love to everybody. We'll see you guys back here soon. Okay, beauties, it's time for our tip of the week. Review your goals daily. The intention we set for our day when we wake up sets the mood for the direction of the day. When you wake, spend a few moments to yourself, either journaling or mentally going over your goals to keep them top of mind. Okay, beauties, I will be back with you on Thursday for my Q&A session show where I answer questions from the Beauty Detox community. To submit your question, please go to KimberlySnyder.com/AskKimberly. Thanks so much and see you again soon. And always remember, progress, not perfection, as true beauty comes from the inside out.